Good morning. I just want to say, I think all of us, I'll speak for all of us here at the board, we appreciate the crowd that's here today, the enthusiasm that you have for the two most important items that are on the agenda. And thank you all for being here. So if you would all rise at this point and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much. We have a quorum, and I'm going to have a president's report right now. It's going to take a little over a minute. I hope you'll indulge me. So I think we're all aware of the fact that we're here in one of the most meaningful times in the history of humanity here on planet Earth, our only home. Mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, financially, and of course, environmentally, we're dealing with challenges that we've never had before. So the important thing at this point in time is to be as responsible, as loving, and as caring as we possibly can be. You know, acknowledging the similarities that we have while embracing our differences, while endeavoring to live in harmony with one another and with Mother Earth. So I know many of us are feeling quite discouraged about both the present and the future at this time. So I wish to make a suggestion that will hopefully help to uplift all of our spirits. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the song that was written a little over 20 years ago by singer, songwriter, musician Steve Earle, titled "The Revolution Starts Now." So you may be familiar with it, you may not. But I just thought I'd let you know that recently, Ann Wilson, who I think many of us remember as the lead singer of Heart, group from the 80s and 90s, she's recorded this song also and done a very heartwarming video to go with this song. So let me suggest that you go to YouTube when you have the opportunity. Enter the name Ann Wilson, and then write down "The Revolution Starts Now" official music video. Runs about 4.5 minutes. I think you'll be inspired, uplifted, and feeling much more hopeful about humanity, about Mother Earth, and our future. So at least that's my humble opinion on that, and I hope you don't mind indulging myself here to pass this message on to you. So, do we have any other board members that would like to say something prior to starting this meeting? Oh, excuse me. Yes, agenda review. Yes, excuse me. Vice President Dean.
We have Diane Anderson and Kitty Connolly here from FFRP, and they would like us to move that. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Thank you. We have FFRP President Diane Anderson and Executive Director Kitty Connolly here from FFRP, and they have requested that we move agenda item 6B before 6A because we know that 6A is going to take a tremendous amount of time. We have a lot of you who want to speak, and I don't think that the FFRP item is going to take very long at all. So I'm respectfully requesting that we move 6B before 6A.
Is everyone okay? Everyone on the board okay with that?
Yes.
Also want to acknowledge that there are quite a few people here with interest in item 6A as well. But that's absolutely your call as president.
I
Thank you.
understand that, and believe me, I've thought about this. The slight dilemma that we have here, I know there's a number of people here have a schedule that they've adjusted so they can come and address item 6A. But if we don't mind, and hopefully we can keep 6B to 10 or 15 minutes, And my apologies to those of you who are here for 6A. I hope you understand.
Thank you.
It's all right. So let me go to public comment right here. And this is public comment on items under the purview of the district, but not on today's agenda. And I have one person that would wish to speak on public comment, and that's Christine Heinrich. So if you would, Christine, if you would step to the podium there. Just a reminder for all of you, by the way, now I'll mention this again, because I know there's going to be a number of folks speaking on the two items of importance. You have 3 minutes to speak, and when you get up, please state your name and where you're from. Obviously, most of you are here from Cambria. That's fine. So just a reminder. Ms. Heinrichs, go right ahead.
Thank you. Christine Heinrichs from Cambria. Immigration and customs enforcement activity is getting worse. Federal immigration officials detained more than 10,000 people last week. It's a major surge, double the previous 1,000 a day, responding to a push from within immigration and customs enforcement to increase arrest rates. If you imagined this was going to go away, it isn't. It's happening in our county as well as across the country. The only way to stop it is to speak out to resist it. We witnessed the happier immigration experience of the World Cup teams, young people visiting America and making friends, enjoying their sport. American cities hosted the teams as they practiced to prepare for their matches. They extended their hospitality to strangers and supported them in their World Cup aspirations. As New York Mayor Mondami said, soccer would not exist without immigrants. Immigrants play and coach the game, work in the stadiums, fill the stands, and make celebrations like the World Cup possible. 6 of the players on the U.S. men's national team are immigrants. The World Cup experience is more reflective of America's tradition of welcoming the immigrant than these vicious raids. It's up to us to resist the militaristic enforcement of immigration laws at every level of government. Writer David Brooks said, "What is happening now is not normal politics. We're seeing an assault on the fundamental institutions of our civic life, things we should all swear loyalty to. It's time for a comprehensive national civic uprising. It's time for Americans in universities, law, business, nonprofits, and the scientific community, and civil servants and beyond to form one coordinated mass movement." Back in 1966, Senator Robert F. Kennedy said about ending apartheid in South Africa, "Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. Enough of these ripples can become a tidal wave. It's time for the CSD to add its ripple to that tidal wave. This board has ignored the issue for a year. I ask you again to hold an open discussion at a public meeting. Please add the subject of ICE enforcement to your next meeting agenda. Thank you."
All right. Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. We have another speaker that wishes to address a non-agenda item. And Clyde Warren, if you would come to the microphone, please. Morning.
I was here today just to kind of a reminder, the Van Gordon Creek culvert being half full of gravel from a log jam. Anyway, there's, you know, I've heard reports about we might have a wet winter this year, and still got 4 months to deal with the issue. So just a reminder that the problem's still there.
Thank you. I hope it appears that...
I'll submit my form after I speak, if that's okay.
That's fine, Ms. Dickerson. Thank you.
I noticed this last week when I was making a trip up San Simeon Creek Road to go birding, which I usually do every once in a while for several hours. So when I passed... this state park campground, then I come upon the gates open to the WRF. There's a huge, of course, no trespassing sign there, attached to the chain link fencing. But what I noticed were the gates were wide open. I have brought this up on numerous occasions over the years that those gates should not be open. And when I came back, I didn't do anything. I just noticed it. But 3 hours later, I drove back and they were still open in the same position. So I did take some photographs. And this just goes again to show the negligence that this district, after being warned and warned and warned, not just by me, but by agencies, still does not adhere to the rules. There are a lot of kids out at the campground. I've seen kids walking along Sansiemen Creek Road. There are many chemicals at the WRF. This is dangerous, and those gates need to be shut when there's anything going on inside of the WRF and, of course, outside. But I just wanted to bring that to the district's attention. And the other thing is that on Heath Lane, there used to be a stop sign at Heath Lane as it was coming out to Windsor, not as far out to Windsor. But since the landscaping's been done, that stop sign isn't there. And so I just wondered why it isn't there or hasn't been replaced. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. It doesn't appear that we have any other folks that wish to make public comment on a non-agenda item. So let's move on to public safety. And Ms. Dickinson, excuse me, Ms. Dotson, is Commander Abbas available?
No.
All right, thank you. Is Commander Januso from the Highway Patrol available?
No.
Is Fire Chief Berkey? I see him back there, so he's going to approach the microphone now. Good morning, Chief Berkey. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
Ask me in about 4 hours.
Excellent. Well, this is the Fire Chief's report for June of 2026. So during that month, we had a total of 117 incidents. We had 8 false alarms, 18 public service assists, 2 hazardous conditions, 1 water rescue, 3 traffic collisions, and 85 medical emergencies, and 0 fires, which we're always happy about. So again, I apologize for the crudity of this report. We're still working on our report writing system. It's still down. We're still doing everything we can. And again, it's not just ours, it's the entire state of California's that we rely on. So it's still having a little bit of issues, getting all of the accurate reports. So as this comes through, we're kind of piecing it together. And so the reports are a little bit different, as you see in the agenda. But for the June of 2025 comparison, we had 109 total incidents. Total year to date for 2025 was 548, and for 2026 we had 589 total calls. For training for the month of June, we focused our crews focused mainly on they were we get a great opportunity since we don't have a training center here and we're limited to our training abilities out here in Cambria. We were able to, the county really does a great job of including us in their training, activities. And so we were able to get our crews down to a structure burn down in Rio Grande. And that's what a lot of those pictures on the report reflect is that training that was done down there. And that was a countywide effort put on by CAL FIRE and a lot of the other agencies that we're involved with. So it's a phenomenal training opportunity, and I'm really proud to be able to send those guys down to do that. We also sent a couple of our crews to rope rescue technician and swift water technician training. This was up in Northern California, and so that's again another imperative training opportunity for them. And then we also had captain's testing and promotion during the month of June as well. For public service, we had we're really focused on the weed abatement program, which I'm happy to say went very well. Our crews were out in full force on June 2nd and 3rd, and we just yesterday finished up the abatement inspections. And again, it went really well with the implementation of ESRI and our new programs. We've been doing a really great job, and I think the community's been responding appropriately as well. So very proud of that. And with that, that concludes my report. I do want to mention we had a couple of calls that I'd like to point out. One of them was the picture there on the first page. We had a fatality accident up on Highway 46 that our crews were first on scene with, and I want to commend them for their rapid response and their abilities during that call. Those are always tough calls to run. We also had an ocean rescue call up on above Elephant Seal parking lot area that our crews, again, county response was there, but they were unable to provide ocean rescue, any sort of swimmers or any actual effective rescue. And so our guys were there and able to perform that rescue. And so I really want to commend them for that job. And again, they're going above and beyond. And that's part of our auto aid agreement that we have with the county, is that we provide that for them. And so, again, very proud of them. And the fact that they were able to provide it when no one else was a great accomplishment. That concludes my report. Open to any questions.
Thank you, Chief Berkey. Any members of the board wish to... All right. Yes, Director Scott.
Yes. Thank you, Chief Berkey, for a wonderful report. I just want to ask, so the first picture on page 6, there looks like there's a downed firefighter. That's an enactment, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, during our training rotations, they typically will create different scenarios to kind of mimic actual events, and firefighter downs are one of those events that they like to mimic.
All right. Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Farmer, and apologies. I think the light is behind this screen.
I can see your light fine. Thank you.
Thanks. And this is not fire chief related. I'd wanted to comment earlier. We've got a closet full of with racks of chairs, and we've got lots of folks standing. And I wonder if there's a way we can make accommodations and bring some chairs in. Mr. Johnston.
If the board would like to do a quick recess, I'll go back and grab some chairs and start setting up, if you like.
Is everybody okay with that? All right, thank you. Yes, let's take a few minutes and we'll do that. All right, thank you. Thank you for your patience. I hope just about everybody has a seat now, and I'm glad to see that. And there's some people standing who are healthy enough that they don't need to sit down. So thank you. So let's move on now to the consent agenda. All right. So I'm being reminded, do we have any public comment on the Chief Berkey's report? No, thank you. Do we have any people? We have anybody on Zoom that wishes to speak at this point, Ms. Dodson? Thank you. All right, let's try and go on now to the consent agenda regarding the expenditure report and the regular meeting minutes from our last meeting. Any board members have any comments?
Yeah. Weird. Okay.
I'm sorry, Director Scott. By the way, just to let you know, we have temporary microphones here that we've never used before, and mine isn't working properly. And we have this screen here that we've never used before. So it's an interesting meeting today. Go right ahead, Director Scott.
All right. So on page 24 of the minutes, It says Director Gray stated he'll accept the point since it's in the agenda title. I think that's a little confusing. Well, sorry. Yeah, the statement on page 24, about two-thirds the way down, says Director Gray stated he'll accept the point since it's in the agenda title.
There you go.
It does sound like a typo, actually.
Yeah.
Typographical error.
Yeah.
Director Scott, we can go back to the recording, and Ms. Dodson and myself will adjust the minutes appropriately. Okay.
And then one more on page 29. At the end, it says Director Scott requested a discussion and consideration for direction for Ms. Fritz about looking into how to make the budget document more transparent and better by separating the operational from the capital. I'm thinking maybe operational accounts from the capital accounts. Does that make more sense? Or not? That's fine. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Scott.
Sure.
Any other members of the, yes, Director Thomas.
Thank you, President Farmer. Just one thing I wanted to flag. This is probably pretty exciting. On page 10 on the expenditure report, Contrivian, haven't seen expenditures to them before, to Starlink. I gather this is for increased response capabilities for our fire department.
Yeah, I can let Chief Berkey touch base on that, but I believe that is satellite Wi-Fi Starlink.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is. It's absolutely because we have so many dead spots in Cambria that we've definitely not only during normal operations, but also during emergencies and through, if we have a storm that comes in or anything like that, those things are imperative that we have. And they've been we just used them during the weed abatement process and they were phenomenal. So
thanks. Way to keep it on the leading edge. Thank you.
Yep.
And the only other question on page 17, Rockwell Engineering. We have an expenditure for FOGROD controller, FOGROD. I bet Mr. Green knows what that is. I was racking my brain.
Yeah, FOGROD. So it's a level transmitter for our wet well that is at lift station B.
Thanks.
You bet.
That's it.
All right. Thank you, Director Thomas, and thank you, Mr. Green. And by the way, you just used that term, racking your brain. It's kind of an interesting comment, isn't it? I mean, an interesting description of our brains, but
yeah, just, again,
just a thought. Yeah. Just a thought. All right, so it appears as if, yes, just, Director Gray.
Yeah, brief comment. Thank you, President Farmer. Getting back to that wording of the agenda, of the minutes on page 24, I see what the... In that statement that says he'll accept a point since it's in the agenda title, it was a discussion over whether we're appointing a committee or continuing a committee, and a point would be in quotes there because it actually is the term appoint a committee. That might clarify because the subsequent part of the minutes kind of explains what's going on. So the word appoint may just be should be in quotes in that spot.
All right. Thank you. So, do we have any further comments on the consent agenda, or do I have a motion to approve and second? Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda? No. Thank you. Once again, anybody wish to make a motion to approve the consent agenda? Let's not rush now.
Also approve.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
A second.
Thank you. Ms. Dodson, if you could do a roll call, please. Thank you.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Scott?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. Thank you. Let's move on now to regular business, and I appreciate the patience of those of you that are here for 6A, but we're going to move to 6B and hopefully make this as quickly as possible. So, General Manager McElhaney, if you would introduce this item, please.
Thank you, President Farmer. Agenda item 6B, discussion and consideration to adopt the updated Fiscally Ranch Public Access and Resource Management Plan. There's no direct fiscal impact at this time. The Cambria Community Service District owns the Fiscally Ranch Preserve, and over the years, periodically, questions have arose regarding the scope, maintenance responsibilities, roles of staff, volunteers, contractors, and the prioritization tasks related to the preserve's upkeep. The board established two different ad hocs, essentially, over the past couple of years, and we've been working diligently with the Friends of the Fiscally Ranch to work on these roles and responsibilities and to work a little more collaboratively on how we can keep and maintain our beautiful Fiscally Ranch Preserve. And so this was brought before the board of directors, I believe, last month, and there were some additional comments and changes to the plan by Director Thomas, and the ad hoc met with the Friends of Fiscally Ranch, myself and Ms. Dodson. We reviewed those additional comments, incorporated a majority of those. We have consensus and concurrence on the plan as it stands now, not only with the Friends of the Fiscally Ranch, but also with the State Coastal Conservancy. And they have agreed to waive the remaining 45-day period that's required in the conservation easement, and we are bringing it back to the board for further discussion and hopeful adoption. And with that, I'll turn it over to the board.
Thank you, General Manager McElhaney. So before I go to public comment on this particular item, any board members wish to make any remarks on this particular item? I mean, we've covered it quite a bit at the last meeting. So yes, Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Farmer. And it is taking a moment to get used to, the delay on the button on these microphones. Truly thanks to the ad hoc for addressing, the vast majority of the comments I brought to the last meeting. And also, given the significance of the ranch management plan, this is the first revision in a generation. I'd love to see everything right so that it lasts another generation or maybe two. So just a few minor changes or issues that I would bring to our attention on page 5 of the ranch management plan, page 435 of the agenda packet. Under purpose of the update, we say since the plan's adoption, the district's role has shifted significantly towards, et cetera. And to me, this is not quite true. The district's role has not changed at all. We still provide the same services we provided at the time we had the ranch. To me, it would be more precise to say, more accurate to say, the district is establishing more fiscal discipline to ensure the integrity of the general fund. To me, that's what we're doing. I don't see the role has changed. We still have the role of maintaining the ranch. So that's the first comment. President Farmer, I assume you might want to have some discussion about these one by one.
Well, let me ask the board how much they would consider what it is that you're commenting on. So any board members wish to make a remark on what Director Thomas has suggested?
Are the comments that Director Thomas going to bring up to discuss one by one part of the list of changes that he requested that the ad hoc committee and FFRP review?
Yes.
Okay, I would just like to say that we did discuss each and every one of the comments from Director Thomas, worked through them with the executive director and the FFRP president one by one, and what we put in there is what they agreed to. So I just would like to say that. If they're not in there, they did not agree to them.
Okay, fair enough. Would anyone disagree that the statement I'm suggesting would be more accurate?
Yes, Director Scott.
Yes, thank you. I don't think it's necessary. I think the way that it stands is very clear.
Mm-hmm. President Farmer?
Oh, yes. Mr. Carmel, thank you.
I just wanted to note that any changes at this point may require restarting the 45-day notice period for the Coastal Conservancy and the FFRP, just so that the board's aware we wouldn't be able to take action today.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. So, Director Thomas, I think we all, members of the board last month, appreciated the remarks that you made, the observations that you made, and they've been acted upon, and appreciate your, continuing concern about this particular item. But I think it's time to move forward with this particular item now. Okay.
Thank you, man.
All
Let's
right.
move on.
Thank you. All right, so we have some public comment here. So first, Diane Anderson, if you would come to the microphone and identify yourself. Some folks might not know how you're involved with FFRP, so thank you.
I will apologize about the mics. They're temporary
better.
mics.
How's that?
That sound you sound great. Thank you.
Okay. And you're going to reset that clock, right, Harry?
I'm letting it sit here for 10 seconds, okay?
Maybe I'll start speaking while you do.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So, good morning, everyone. My name is Diane Anderson. I am a resident of Cambria. I'm also board chair for the Friends of Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. I'm here today to speak to the CCSD board members, General Manager McElhaney, and the community at large. First, I want to thank everyone who's been part of updating the Fiscalini Ranch Management Plan. It won't surprise you to hear that it wasn't always easy. There were difficult conversations and differing perspectives, but through it all, everyone stayed at the table. They listened, they asked hard questions, and kept working toward the shared goal of a revised ranch management plan. And I believe that accomplishment of working together that way is something worth recognizing. As this phase of the work comes to a close, one thing I've come away with is that we've accomplished more than updating a document. We've actually built a stronger working relationship between CCSD and FFRP, one based on better communication, growing trust, and mutual respect. To me, that's the most important outcome because it's the foundation we're going to need as we continue to care for this remarkable place. I also know some community members have questioned whether the management plan changes anything in the conservation easement. FFRP also took that concern very seriously. While we worked closely with legal counsel throughout this process to ensure every change remained fully consistent with the Well, excuse me. We worked closely with legal counsel, and I might say closely and repeatedly with legal counsel throughout this process to ensure every change remained fully consistent with the conservation easement. After careful review, we're confident that the core responsibilities, authorities, and obligations of both CCSD and FFRP remain unchanged. Just as importantly, nothing in the updated management plan changes or overrides the conservation easement, which continues to protect the ranch, preserve public access, and guide its stewardship. The FFRP board carefully reviewed the June 17th management plan, voted unanimously to concur with it, and submitted its written concurrence on June 18th. We believe this process has laid a foundation for a stronger partnership between CCSD and FFRP. Fiscalini Ranch is strongest when we work well together, and we look forward to continuing that work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. And for just a reminder, okay, and we love hearing applause, right? But we don't want to slow down the meeting any more than we need to because this is going to be a long meeting. So those of you that wish to applaud, just and if there's a moment when you don't feel like applauding, you don't have to applaud. And if you want to say something negative, we'll just go from there. Okay, I hope you understand. All right, the next speaker is Kitty Connolly.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kitty Connolly, Executive Director of the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve and a Cambria resident. For the benefit of anyone who may not be familiar with land trust terminology, which is really why all these people came today to learn, I'd like to clarify the relationship between conservation easement and the management plan. The conservation easement is a permanent legal agreement that protects Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. It says what can and cannot happen on the land. It establishes the conservation purposes of the property, namely public access and resource conservation. The easement is the controlling document. The management plan is different. It's a stewardship document that guides how those conservation purposes are carried out and should be updated periodically. It derives its authority from the conservation easement and cannot conflict with it. The updated management plan makes several useful improvements. It clearly identifies CCSD as the sole entity for responsibility for managing the ranch. It better defines CCSD's day-to-day management responsibilities, removes outdated references to things like cattle grazing, and reinforces the process for making future revisions to the management plan that are consistent with the conservation easement. As Diane Anderson mentioned, FFRP consulted legal counsel throughout the process of updating the plan. We're confident that the revised plan fully supports the easement and continues to protect the ranch's conservation values. We appreciate CCSD's ongoing stewardship of this remarkable community resource and look forward to working together for its care. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Connolly. Ted Siegler, if you would step to the microphone, please.
Good morning. I'm Ted Siegler, Cambria resident. There's probably not much point in my speaking today, but I'm going to express continued disappointment over the ranch management plan anyway. The document should not be about whether to manage the ranch, but how to do it in accordance with terms of the conservation easement. The weather question is addressed without conditions in the easement. Yet the draft opens with staff excuses. It's kind of like me going to the bank and telling them I'm changing focus to educating my children, so I'll get around to making mortgage payments when it's convenient. Of course, the bank would remind me my obligation. I value my home, the asset, encumbered by the mortgage, so I'd never do that. The excuses start with concerns about water and wastewater enterprises, costs, and reserves. It would be illegal for the ranch management to compete with enterprise resources. So if that's an actual concern, you have a serious management problem. Next, so-called new focus on life-saving functions. Community safety has always been a part of the CCSD charter. It's not new. And I'll remind you, there's been a building moratorium for 25 years. And our population has shrunk by more than 10% since 2000 census. The fire department's scope of responsibility certainly has not increased over that time. Why is it crowding out the general fund to such a great extent? Also, I'll caution about focusing on the shiny new thing, and I'm not against the skate park, but we're about to hear a lengthy discussion about spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to build the skate park, and I didn't see anything about maintenance in the materials. Is CCSD going to padlock it when it's no longer convenient to provide maintenance? And let's think about impact. The ranch has over 400,000 visits per year. That's an average of more than 1,000 per day. What's the forecast for skate park usage? We elected you to represent us, the community. Please keep in mind, keep that in mind as you direct your staff. In my opinion, by adopting this amended management plan, you'll fail to recognize the importance to the community of its most highly utilized resource. The ranch is integral. It's not a liability, it's an asset we use daily, an asset that supports Cambria's tourist economy, an asset that we treasure. And we deserve a more robust commitment to the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve and its ongoing commitment to our management. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Siegler. We have one more public comment here in the room, and then we'll go to Zoom. Ms. Dickinson.
Thank you, President Farmer. Tina Dickinson, Cambria resident for a very long time. I'm a member of the ranch. I've supported it for years. My husband was just out yesterday pulling a ton of weeds with the Wednesday crowd. And I object to just two members of the board getting together, conversing over this issue, 6B. And the Director Thomas has spent a lot of time, great deal of time, looking through the easement agreement, everything associated with the ranch and the involvement of CCSD, FFRP, et cetera. What I do object to is that when Director Thomas asked to have those conditions read out, maybe he could summarize them, but you've got a whole room full of people here that haven't read them or are aware of them. And as usual, it's the public be damned. Let's just get this ad hoc committee together. They'll figure it out. And then we'll get together with the board and we'll work on this. But we in the public are not aware. And so when are you going to actually be transparent enough to allow the public to be made aware of, at least in summary, what Director Thomas has spent a ton of time on? That's what I'm requesting, President Farmer, of you, President of the Board, today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. We have one more speak. Just a moment.
Yeah, may I just address what Ms. Dickinson just said?
Yes, go right ahead, Director Scott.
So I'd like to ask the staff where this information has been available to the public.
It is posted on our website, and I believe it was posted within 12 hours of that meeting in which Director Thomas sent those changes. We post them on the website, and I believe they're in the agenda packet. And they're in the agenda packet for this actual meeting.
And they actually, that was stated that was going to happen at the last board meeting.
Correct.
Thank you, Director Scott. We have one more speaker now on this particular item, Dennis Ducek.
Thank you. Thank you, President Farmer and board, and all of you in the audience today. It's a tremendous plan. It's had a lot of work, and it needs to go forward, no question. There's one item that I want to bring up, and you can handle this however is most appropriate. I certainly understand that you don't want to make changes to the document today. But as I've indicated in some of my correspondence, the Fiscalini Ranch Public Access and Resource Management Plan does not yet include a full analysis of or a plan to remove the invasive and hazardous vegetation, especially eucalyptus, and restore the natural creek flow and defensible space around Santa Rosa Creek at Highway 1 to mitigate existing fire and flood risk. It's a significant issue. We all went through the Pacific Palisades and all the other fires. Eucalyptus has been a major factor. We've all suffered from the flooding, and eucalyptus has been a major factor. If you all look at Highway 1 where it crosses the Santa Rosa Creek, you'll see an incredible explosion of young eucalyptus that are filling the creek, and they're encroaching on the highway. And I have suggested some language that you could either put in the document if that's possible. If that's not feasible today, it would be, I think, appropriate to ask staff or direct staff to look into this matter and to maybe at some future board meeting present an analysis and some options for that, including working with Cal Fire, working with the Coastal Conservancy. I've already discussed this matter a little bit with Kitty, and she agrees with me that this is something that is appropriate to do, and you know, FEMA and others to fund the eucalyptus removal and mitigation. It is a long-term responsibility of CCSD to manage the creek, and so I think this is an important part of something we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duchek. Director Scott, it appears that you have a comment you wish to make.
Yes, I really would like to thank Mr. Duchek for the information that he's given us, and it is, I think it's a really important issue. I scanned this again and again, and I did find two places on page 467 of the agenda packet that speaks to the eucalyptus growth, but his wording is much more comprehensive. I'm thinking that we definitely need to let the staff know that this is really important. It does speak to it, but not as comprehensively as you have indicated. So thank you for your input.
Yes, and I just want to make a comment that just thinking back to when we originally purchased the ranch, that concern over the eucalyptus trees was very much on our minds at that time as well. Any other board members wish to comment on this particular item before we go to Zoom? No. Ms. Dotson, are there any folks on Zoom that wish to make a remark on this item?
Yes, Crosby and Laura Swartz.
All right, thank you. Crosby and or Laura Swartz, go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. This is the Laura part. Laura Swartz, Cambria resident. Good morning, board. The thing is, I want to congratulate Ted Siegler for bringing this up. We know him well. I believe he was the treasurer for the Fiscalini Ranch at one point, so I think he understands the financial aspects of this whole thing. The part that I have problems with is the beginning of the report. I don't think there should be such a large conflict between the fire department and the Fiscalini Ranch. I think we need to take a more balanced look at the finances. I guess that's the best word. We need to balance the concerns of the fire department and the Fiscalini Ranch. Both are extremely important to this community. And I think Mr. Siegler kind of has it right. So I'm just stating that for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Swartz. Anyone else, Stotson?
No.
All right, thank you. So let me bring it back to the board. Any board members wish to make any further comments? Director Thomas?
Yeah, thank you, President Farmer. Kind of reflecting on some of the comments here. Kudos to the ad hoc committee. The comments I provided the evening of the last meeting were posted immediately, so thank you for that. There is an accounting. At the very end of this, there is a list of the changes that were made. So for me, there's no lack of transparency. On blue gum eucalyptus, yes, I've been leading the removal of invasives with the volunteers for many years. We've had quite a few work parties. We've removed hundreds of blue gum eucalyptus saplings. I also know that Mr. Aguirre and his crew have taken out lots of much bigger ones than the volunteers can handle. And also, by the way, we spend most of our efforts removing invasive radish and mustard, which are mentioned nowhere in this ranch management plan. It's not intended to be an inventory, and there are separate inventories of the invasives. So that doesn't worry me. Ted Siegler did put his finger on three of the comments that concerned me. So, okay, this revision isn't perfect, but it is much better. So I always try to remind myself, don't let perfect be the enemy of better. If it pleases the president, I'd be happy to make a motion when you're ready.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Director Thomas. First, Director Scott.
No, I just wanted to second his motion, but I think.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Just had a quick question, yeah, maybe.
Sorry, Director Grad.
Asking the indulgence of the president on this one. Dr. Thomas did say he, you know, obviously, he thinks the program, you know, thinks the result is good. I am curious, though, if there are any significant revisions that Director Thomas proposed that did not get through the process of consulting with FFRP. I'm just curious about what might have been left off that he is still concerned about.
Yeah, the primary issues were the, to me, overemphasis on the shifting role. You know, what we're doing is we're focusing more intently on essential services, but the rules haven't changed. So I found that to be a wee bit of a misstatement. The inclusion on the top of the next page of the balancing expenditures on on the ranch with water and wastewater, those are in separate funds. So that is, to me, that is an incorrect inference that expenditures on the ranch would impact the water and wastewater budget. So those are the primary issues. To answer your question, Director.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. Just one more comment. I also want to praise the ad hoc committee, but also the leadership of the FFRP for working together so effectively on this. It started out, this process started almost a couple of years ago now, and it was rather contentious at times. I was in an ad hoc committee with Director Thomas, I think, initially, and there was, at the time, you know, fairly wide gap between our views, and I have to, you know, commend the people who were involved on both sides how they worked it out, because it's turned into a very, I think, constructive and useful project revision going forward. So I think everybody did a very good job.
Well, thank you, Director Gray. I think most of us, well, all of us here on the board would concur totally with what you've just said. Yes, Director Scott.
No, I just.
You're on.
Let me turn off. There you go.
All right, thank you. So I believe Director Thomas, a little bit earlier, you wanted to make a motion, and Director Scott wanted to second it. So why don't we just do that one more time?
Well, shucks. Thank you, President Farmer. And also, given the clear support from Executive Director Kitty Connolly and FFRP Board President Diane Anderson, the clear support, I move that we approve the updated Biscayne Ranch Public Access and Resource Management Plan, revised to June 17, 2026.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both. I just want to make a comment. Having been involved with the group, those of us that have been here long enough, I remember the group Friends of the Ranchland, who initiated the saving of the ranch when the folks that had purchased it back in 1992 wanted to build 416 houses on the ranch. And fortunately, we were able to prevent that from happening, got some great help from various conservancy groups, and so we happen to have the jewel of the Central Coast right here in our community, and we're truly blessed for that to have happened. And I want to thank everybody that's involved, whether it's Mr. Thomas and his group for doing the weeding, for FFRP, and especially for those of us that walk the ranch and express our affection for Mother Earth and how much she nourishes our soul. So with that thought in mind, Ms. Dodson, if you would do a roll call, please.
Director Thomas.
Aye.
Director Scott.
Aye.
Director Gray.
Aye.
Vice President Dean.
Aye.
President Farmer.
Aye. Yes, Vice President Dean.
I want to thank FFRP President Diane Anderson and Executive Director Kitty Connolly for all that they put into this and working so competitively with us. You did a great job, and I enjoyed working with you, and I feel like we did a successful update working together, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say that there were four ladies involved for almost the majority of the time, and folks have commented, well, maybe that's why it ultimately went a little more smoothly, but we will never know, right? All right, let's move on now to, Vice President Dean needs to pause for a moment here. Thank you. No, she's getting a drink of water. I just want to make a comment since we're talking about water. We're very fortunate to have had that late spring rainfall in April, which has the well levels in the San Simeon about at average, even though we had less rain than normal. So for those of us that are here in the audience right now, that are mainly obviously concerned about the skate park, some of you about the ranch. Water is so important in our community, as we all know. And I know the majority of people in this community are being as efficient with water usage as they've been since the drought years of, like, say, 2013, 2014, and so forth. But just a reminder, we're blessed to have the ranch. We're blessed to have the creeks and the wells that we have. And so just be as efficient and loving as possible with regard to water, which is like a magical, when you think about it, a magical creation of nature. All right, let's, what was that? All right, well, thank you so much. All right, let's move on to item 6A, and General Manager McElhaney. General Manager McElhaney, if you would introduce this item, please.
Thank you, President Farmer. Agenda item 6A, discussion and consideration of Cambria Skate Park project bids, funding, and possible award of contract. The lowest responsive bid for the Cambria Skate Park project is $1.344 million based on a current available project funding of $1.69 million. Currently, the project is underfunded by $175,000, give or take, before adding any construction contingencies. And I know Mr. Clark is here from the Cambria Community Council and might have some updated numbers for us. So I'll finish the staff report, and then if the board would like, we can hear from Mr. Clark to provide any more clarity to that. The staff report being presented before the board today is to review and summarize the bids and the funding shortfall related to the Cambria Skate Park project. It's discussed in the staff report. Based on that funding shortfall, the options are limited, and including the district requesting a bid extension or potentially rebidding the project, or both, allowing for additional funds to be raised, or a decision before the board today to close that funding gap or further contingency monies. The board is well aware of the background. On April 24th, 2025, there was a gap established then. The project cost ranged from $1.2 million all the way up to $1.5 million, inclusive of contingencies to cover construction, operation, and maintenance costs. Staff recommended the board to establish a deadline for Skate Cambria and the Community Council to secure those funds. The board landed on a 12.5 contingency and a total project cost of $1.34 million. That gap was closed in 4 months, and then we began the permitting process. As the board knows, there's been several permitting issues with the project. We are an unincorporated community service district that does not have oversight over land use, so we must go through the County of San Luis Obispo to permit this project. With that comes the oversight of the county, and they're the stopgap. So there were several permitting issues going all the way back to the beginning of the project, curb and gutter, sidewalk. Then we have the engineering for the restroom. It's in a 100-year floodplain. So there's been several permitting issues to go along with design changes with Aaron Spahn changing the design. We had to wait on that to submit to the county. So many hurdles to get to this point. With that, I'll go into the options and the analysis that staff drafted for the board. Option one is award the construction contract covering the funding shortfall with district funds. And there's pros and cons with that. And this isn't to add a dark cloud to this option, but is not the option that staff recommends based on our current general fund constraints. Right now, we have an estimated $2.4 million in the general fund reserves. $768,000 of that is encumbered, unavailable, because that is going towards the skate park project while we draw that down and submit for reimbursement for the grant. So right now, $768,000 is not available. That remains, that means that we have about $1.6 million in reserves. The SAFER grant for the SAFER firefighters, we are assuming a $350,000 pull out of the general fund reserves because that is a cost match grant that was awarded. Again, that drops our general fund down. Now, our hope is that our firefighters going out of county and through those reimbursement revenues from going out of county, we can close that funding gap, but there's no guarantee there. And that was brought before the board and staff shared those concerns before we authorized that grant. So the remaining general fund after that is about $1.2 million. There's a $250,000 performance bond once we enter into construction. We would receive that back at the close of construction, but again, that would be taken out of the general fund, dropping it down to $1 million. Sitting at $1 million, if we were to close the funding gap and if there was any overruns in the project, our general fund reserves could be below $1 million, around $800,000. So that's just to advise the board. It's our responsibility as staff to advise the board on our general fund reserves and if the board has the risk tolerance to close that gap. Option two is to reject all bids, allow more time for fundraising to close the gap and any contingency monies that the board may land on, and then rebid the project at a later date. The pros and cons are before you. You know, some of the cons of that is that, you know, contractors put a lot of time to put in these bids. You know, and it takes work and effort. And sometimes when you do things like this and reject all bids, you know, it can be difficult to get those individuals to bid again. Option three would be to contact our lowest bidder, which is Newton Construction, and request an extension of their bid, hold that bid price for 180 days. I've reached out via email. They are willing to do that, but there is an agreement that would have to be signed to codify that. And then again, that would allow 180 days for the gap to be closed and whatever contingency monies the boards decides on. We put a contingency table in here. I will say that that our utilities manager can speak that most all of our projects have unforeseen circumstances beyond the district's control that cause cost overruns in the project. And we've seen that in almost every single project from the East Ranch restroom to the Stewart Street tanks to the SST project. All of them have these types of issues. So with that said, the agenda is before you. Staff is open to any questions. And we also have Mr. Clark here. Thank you.
Thank you, General Manager McElhaney. Vice President Dean, you wish to make a comment to begin this discussion?
Yes, I think since Mr. Clark is here in the audience, we should have him come up and give us an update on where we are on the funds before we move forward with the discussion, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Dick, I'm not putting you on the timer, okay?
Thank you. My name's Dick Clark. I'm a resident of 27 years. I represent everyone here in the room today. I'm a member of the community council. I was treasurer for 1 year, president for 5 years. I've been very active with Skate Cambria. We started this journey 5.5 years ago with an ad hoc committee of President Farmer, Vice President Dean, and Ms. Amade, and here we are. I'm also involved with the CCSD. I've had the privilege of doing their facilitating of their strategic planning, so I'm involved with everybody here, so let's go. I'm here to verify just the numbers that are in the package. We'll take a look at the maintenance fund. We have $69,312. This has been going over years. Tom Gray and I have had many hours of discussions. We started with $62,000. It has grown to the $69,000. I can also verify the $623,000 that we have set aside for the construction fund. And I can also verify the $14,274 we have in this, our mechanics account for. I would like to address the funding gap, which is $175,000 or more. The community council will provide the gap funding of $175,000 to complete the state park. And the source, okay. And the sources of the funds, we're going to move the disc golf funds that we put into East Ranch. These are anonymous funds. The donor has agreed to move them over to the skate park. Okay, the balance of the additional funds will be drawn from our Edward Jones investment account to be used to pay for the community restroom. These funds are investment income from several bequests of former Camerons who included community council in their estate plans. This account will provide funds for local projects, or has provided funds for local projects, as the old Santa Rosa Chapel and the 1881 old Santa Rosa renovation. I just like to repeat again, a recap. Our contribution has come from two sources. One is the anonymous donor and the investment income only off of the bequest. So that will be our contribution to the construction funds. Are there any questions on the construction funds before we move into the big elephant of the contingency fund? Or do you want to just continue this good news?
I don't see any board members that wish to make a comment at this moment, so go right ahead, Dick.
The community council will also fund the funding gap or the contingency fund of 15% of $201,600. We plan to hold the money, set it aside. Should you need it, we'll take the responsibility, the $201,600. We will ask for our attorney to review the agreement with Tim to make sure our funds are protected. And I guess in closing, that the community council is very honored to represent the community. With your generosity, and we'll be good stewards of your trust on this project. That's it.
Let me just say this, Mr. Clark. If we were going to start off this discussion about the skate park, it couldn't have been a more positive and heartwarming expression of how we're going to be moving forward than what we just heard. And thank you. Thank you, Dick. Vice President Dean, you wish to make another comment?
I thank you, President Farmer. I have a few things I would like to say. First of all, I want to thank Dick Clark from the bottom of my heart, excuse me, for all the time and effort he has put in getting the skate park funding to this point, working so hard and collaboratively with the community council and covering the remaining construction deficit and the contingency. Mr. Clark has been actively involved with the skate park project from the very beginning, stepping up to volunteer himself and the community council to be the holder of the funds raised for the skate park when no one else wanted to form a 501c3 and be responsible for the donations. He has participated in all of the ad hoc committee meetings with directors Dean and Farmer, General Manager McElhaney, CCSD staff members Jim Green, Tristan Reaper, Eric Johnson, Haley Dodson, and District Council Carmel, along with Julie Amadei from Skate Cambria, and at times the district's contract engineer Monty Soto and Steve Niffen from the PROS Commission. And he has kept us updated with the status of funds being held by the Community Council on behalf of the Skate Cambria. I would also like to recognize our general manager, Matthew McElhaney, and his staff. One of the very first things our general manager did when he was hired to the CCSD was to work diligently on the LWCF grant for the skate park, rewriting the grant application with confidential administrative assistant Haley Dodson, with help from administrative department manager, finance manager Denise Fritz, and input from utilities manager Jim Green, program manager Tristan Reaper, and district council Carmel. They followed through with all of the studies and other requirements that were necessary to qualify for the grant. Without their efforts, the district would not have been awarded the $600,000 matching grant, and this escape would be a long way from happening. And we also have to thank the general manager for obtaining the CBID grant of $47,500. So I think our staff needs kudos as well for all that they have done to help with this project. I would also like to say that the staff and legal counsel have devoted a tremendous number of hours on the skate park project over these years. And while they were paid by the district, no reimbursement was requested from Skate Cambria for their time spent on this project. The board of directors have supported this project from the very beginning, making personal donations, helping with fundraising, and giving direction to the general manager and staff towards pursuing the goal of completion of the skate park. The CCSD has not delayed this project. Any delays were due to funding issues and the many requirements and studies from the county, FEMA, and the grant agency. All of us here at the CCSD, the board, the general manager, the staff, legal counsel, want to see this project built for the youth of our community. I just wanted to let you know that we hear a lot about how we don't want it and we're trying to delay it. We want this project done. We have always wanted this project done, and we are determined to get this project done. And that's, I have a question for legal counsel, if we can, please, President Farmer.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, now that we know that the funding has been secured to bridge the gap and to cover the contingency, I would like to ask District Carmel what our next steps will be so we can move forward.
Well, first, thank you. Thank you, President Farmer. Thank you, Vice President Dean. Wow. Wow. That's about all I have to say. This is great news. Thank you, Community Council, for your generous support of the project. Obviously, it couldn't be done without you. I can provide a general roadmap of how I anticipate this item will move forward. So Matt and I will need to carefully go over the deal points with Mr. Clark and with the council. Then we'll begin drafting a funding agreement, and that draft agreement will have to obviously be supplied to the community council and their attorney for their review. I would anticipate that'll take about, don't hold me to any of this, but 1 to 2 weeks from today. Once the legal counsels have signed off on the draft, the agreement would be presented to both boards of directors of both agencies for their review and any revisions. The district board review would likely be at a special meeting, and As an aside, I would recommend that you appoint an ad hoc committee today to expedite this process and to oversee it. Once both boards are satisfied with the agreement and the community council executes the agreement be placed on a board's agenda for formal consideration by the CCSD board. I would anticipate that the entire process that I've described probably could be done in, and again, I hate giving these dates, but 3 to 4 weeks seems like at a fast pace, a reasonable time, but then we could get the agreement to the board. And then immediately following approval of the funding agreement by both boards, we would agendize the construction contract for approval. So we'd aim to get this on the board's agenda for the next meeting, for the August meeting, which I think is August 13th. If it's ready earlier, or if we need more time, we can always call a special meeting. So if everything went smoothly and there were no unanticipated delays, we should be under contract and ready to build the skate park in 4 to 6 weeks. I'm being optimistic, but I think that can be done. One other note, the project construction bids remain valid for 90 days. So I know we had talked about getting an extension from the low bidder. I don't think that's necessary at this point in time. We can just monitor progress of the agreement as it moves forward. And if we see any unforeseen delay, we can proactively coordinate the bid validity to extend when that happens. So those are my rambling ideas, but thank you again, Community Council. Thank you.
Yeah. Question answer.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. So, Director Gray.
Yes, thank you, President Farmer. I had a question for Mr. Carmel to start with. You mentioned the need to have an ad hoc committee. Isn't this something we could probably execute the agreement, a draft of the agreement, I guess, in negotiation with CCC at the staff level, general manager and others, and also, of course, Mr. Clark? Do we need an ad hoc committee of the board for such a short-term thing?
You don't. I don't take the liberties of thinking you're going to delegate that to staff, but obviously that's within your power, probably would move it along a lot faster. Even so, I think because there's going to need to be communication with board members, it would probably, and I'm not sure that there's not an existing ad hoc that could provide this function. There could be at least two board members that staff can communicate with and just get general consensus. It doesn't need to be done that way, but I think it's always helpful to have the input of board members to make sure staff and board are on the same page. But no, it's not required, and it could be done entirely by staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Director Gray.
Yeah.
I can make a quick suggestion because
sure.
I think it would fall in line rather easily whether or not we establish an ad hoc, but our current president and vice president were the former ad hoc of the skate park. So I meet with them frequently for agenda review, and I'd be happy to continue to work with them on this agreement.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. That's a good idea.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Director Gray. So I think what we'll do right now, first, let me ask for any brief comments from the board before we move on to public comment.
Just a short one. I wanted to add my gratitude and praise to Mr. Clark and the Community Council. I wanted to add, just note in addition with Mr. Clark, we've been working with him, CCSD, since the beginning of this almost. And, the CCC or the Community Council, through Mr. Clark primarily, I think, agreed to a memorandum of understanding as to our contribution and the obligations of the Community Council. And I have to say, it is a sign of his integrity or the organization's integrity that they stuck with that agreement. And what they're doing today, for instance, what he's doing today is a way of keeping faith with what he agreed to do, what they agreed to do. And I think I have a great deal of respect for that. And so, because it could have been a lot harder and a lot more contentious if we had to go back and, you know, basically violate our agreement. He and Mr. Clark, who I would nominate for Citizen of the Year, did not put us in that position. So I thank you very much, Mr. Clark.
So I just want to make a comment that, and obviously all board members concur with what Mr. Director Gray just said. You know, I'd asked you to do the hand thing and not the applause, but I think considering the enthusiasm and the energy and the positivity that's going on so far, you know, keep your applause to a minimum, but it's totally understood. And with that thought in mind, we're going to... Director Thomas.
Yes, thank you, President Farmer and Vice President Dean and Director Gray have pretty much said it all. But yeah, I just have to say, Dick, after I wiped the tears from my eyes, after you know the support from the Community Council, I'm blown away. This was likely to be a very difficult discussion, and you just moved us ahead, grand slam home run. Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to concur. I don't know how many of you felt this way, but I actually was very close to tears of joy in hearing Mr. Clark. So we're all blessed. So let's move on to public comment. Oh, by the way, before we do public comment, Ms. Dotson, how many folks are attending the meeting on Zoom? 21. Okay. Well, we may be hearing from some of them in a little while, but first, let me call on those of you here in the audience. And first speaker is Julie Amadei.
Good morning. It is a good morning. Before I even begin, I want to thank the Cambria Community Council. And I just want to give them a tremendous round of applause for their generosity. Sorry, I need a minute, Harry. Every time the bell rang, it meant someone stepped forward to make a difference. Each donation brought us closer to this moment. Today, we ring the bell to celebrate the generosity of our community and to thank everyone who helped. Every ring mattered. It is an epic day in so many ways. The word epic means something extraordinary. An accomplishment achieved through dedication, teamwork, and determination. As we approach the finish line of our skate park project, there is no better way to describe the journey. E, encourage. Every word of support, every volunteer, every donation, and every shared vision encouraged us to keep moving forward. P, persistence. Great projects aren't built overnight. Through challenges, setbacks, and countless hours of work, we stayed committed to the goal because we believed our community deserved this space. I, integrity. Throughout this process, we've remained committed to being transparent, accountable, and responsible stewards of the trust and support you placed in this project. C, community. This skate park belongs to all of us. It has been shaped by the passion, the generosity, and the commitment of our community, from residents and local businesses to volunteers, donors, and supporters. Every contribution brought us one step closer to the finish line. As we prepare to celebrate,
We just want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to everyone who believed in this vision. Your encouragement, persistence, integrity, and commitment to our community have transformed an idea into a lasting legacy for future generations. Together, we've been epic. And together, we've been together for the skate park. We've built a stronger community. Thank you for helping us cross the finish line. And I'm going to ask all the kids that are here, if you can just come up really quick. Anybody? Kids? All the kids? Yep. A lot of them are working. Many of them that started in the very beginning of this project have now graduated from college, and they're in their own careers. Come on up here. And I want to call up Chelsea Foster, Jeff Smith. Chelsea?
I just included myself with the kids.
Okay, well, Reb's coming with the kid.
He's the big kid.
Julie, if you could speak to the microphone.
Yep. I just want the kids to ring the last bell.
Not a problem.
Do it, champ.
Give it a good ring.
Hey, bang that thing.
Thank you. I don't want to fail to mention anyone on the Skate Cambria team because of how hard they've worked, but there's a lot of passion in the room. We have a lot of work to still do. And I appreciate you taking your time out of your day today. Do not leave. It's an important day for this community. It's an important day for open space and recreation. So everyone who's taken time to put together a 3-minute comment, it may be revised just a little bit in your head because we got some great news. But it's important for the board to hear your comments on open space and recreation. And I know we can all do that very respectfully. So thank you. We look forward to working together and getting this park built.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Amadei. So if I could just make a comment, I think I'm just going to kind of follow up on what Julie just said. Obviously, the tone in the room right now is a very positive one. So those of you that, and there's many of you that wish to speak, kind of condense your comments if you wish. It's already 11:35, and there's a number of you that wish to speak. If you could kind of condense your comments with, in some form of celebration, so to speak, so as many people as possible can speak as quickly as possible. So with that thought in mind, the first person is Lady Tie-Dye, Diane Brooke. Dye?
Well, I was channeling my Mr. Rogers today because I figured at this day and age, we need him more than ever. And we were I was really expecting to have to really dig deep. But as ever, Cambrians, I will try not to cry, pull together. And it's been contentious. And I was on the school board for 12 years, including through the construction of a brand new grammar school. So I understand budgets and permits and constraints and all that kind of stuff, and have a certain opinion about all of that. But it just, I want to thank everybody here, community council, everybody, all the community. And again, thank you so much, having been the member, you know, school board, running the youth center, getting the original skate park, knowing how difficult it is to address our children's needs, our young people's needs. I am really proud of us right now for getting through this and showing the kids that we care and being good stewards of our properties that we have available and making them, maximizing them to the best. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Diane. I just want to make a comment. I know I said let's move it on, but the years that Di was involved with the Youth Center and her commitment to the youth of this community. So two thumbs up, Di, and thank you so much. Just wanted to acknowledge that. Let's move on to the next speaker, Tim Mayer.
Timothy Mayer, resident of San Simeon for 33 years. I've been honorary mayor, and I've been in, well, obviously it's a, you know, fake title kind of fundraising thing. But my friend Linda Holland, former resident of Cambria, now Los Osos, started the first skate park in this parking lot. And Tony Hawk helped. He donated $10,000, I think, that bought all the jumps and ramps and all that kind of stuff. And they had to put those away in a container every time they used them. And then it moved across the street, and I actually dedicated that one across the street 24 years ago when I was honorary mayor. And so, as we know, living in a small town, it's all about volunteerism. Things don't happen without volunteers, and many volunteers. And as Julie said, it's, you know, it's not over yet. So don't completely relax until, you know, we're waiting for the groundbreaking, but you have to see it through to the end and nurture that park along. Joy Craig is a woman in the past you may not know about. She was named Queen of the Royal Flush because she's the reason why we have public restrooms, one at each end of town. She did major fundraising, and yes, the CCSD maintains those structures, but she made those happen. This is going to add another restroom, obviously mainly for the skate park, but that is a great addition because any business owner here knows that's had a retail business knows that you need public restrooms. And any naysayers to this project, don't you dare oppose it unless you do your research and you talk to the people involved in this and realize what's involved. And I know that there have been people who have not done their jobs and have delayed this project and made it cost more. And if the board has any power in getting rid of any sort of fees, waiving any sort of fees that they can, or get any waiving of any fees through the county, please advocate. Because we know it's not over yet. There's always more expenses. And so obviously there's much more I could say, but I will finish up now by saying, you know, small towns are about community. We take care of each other. Cambria Community Services District, Community Services. It's all about the kids. And I am not a skater. I was a rollerblader, and I did go off a jump when I dedicated that park, but not doing that anymore. Anyway, so leave that to the young. And thank you all for this opportunity. And thank you to all the volunteers that make everything happen in this town.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Next. The next speaker is Christine Heinrichs.
Christine Heinrichs, Cambria. Well, this is certainly a big turnaround. Sure saved your bacon. So thanks to this anonymous donor who has worked with the community council and the community council for being there to handle that. This is a terrific time. This is a great moment to move forward. We'll see how this goes. As Mr. Mayor said, this is far from done, and we will watch closely. I hope that everyone in this room keeps returning for every meeting as this project moves forward to make sure that it stays on track and is completed as promised. Thank you.
Next speaker is Margie Sesser. Good morning, Margie.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I'm Margie Perez-Sesser from Cambria, and I want to thank the community council. You know how we have all worked so hard. So many people in this room I know have baked cookies, who have given donations, who have been so generous, who have helped so much and supported us. And it's just like overwhelming to be a part of this community. And we're so happy that you're going to be able to help make this happen. I want to thank specifically Director Harry Farmer, Karen Dean, Deborah Scott, and Michael Thomas for actually coming to our many fundraisers and also donating to our cause. And we appreciate that so much. And we just really are grateful. And we're just so happy it's finally going to happen. There's many of us grandmas that are here that supported this. And I can't wait to tell my granddaughter, who unfortunately is at the Dodger game with Steve. So Steve's not here today. But that it's going to happen. And we're so happy. And like they all said, too, we are going to help. We want to make this happen. And we're going to continue. And we are just going to be the community that supports our families and parents. Because I will tell you, a lot of parents participate. When I go to all the skate things, I've been to every skate park in this county, and I see families there, and they make a picnic out of it, and they're there watching their kids. This brings families together. And this is a district that does serve families. That's part of your mission. And I'm so grateful. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sesser. The next speaker is Lori Millier. Lori, are you here? Good morning.
Hi.
So if you just state your name and where you're from, please.
My name is Maddie Gibson, but I'm reading on behalf of my grandmother, Lori Millier.
Okay, thank you.
They are speaking as, thank you. Longtime Cambria residents who care deeply about our community. Lori's professional background in nutrition and exercise physiology has strengthened our belief that recreational opportunities are an important investment to the health and well-being of our community, especially for our children and youth. And so it is with this belief that we would like to thank the community so much for everything that they have put into this project. And that is basically the amended version of this statement, because a lot of good news has been received today. Although, if I may speak on a more personal level, as someone who could appreciate this project so much, even just as an outsider, third spaces are incredibly important for young people, especially in the area over here, because admittedly, there's not much going on, especially if you don't have money to spend. So I think that so much time has been dedicated towards building something that so many people who maybe tend to be overlooked in the area, which, because it is a retirement community, I think it's really fantastic that so many people care so much to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I just want to make a comment, by the way. I just counted up the number of people that still wish to speak here in the room, and it's 14. So if I'm not mistaken, 14 times 3 is 42. And right now it's 11:45. So I'm just going to allow everyone that wishes to speak to do so, and then we'll act on this item, and then we'll take a lunch break. So next speaker will be Gordon Heinrichs.
Yes, I'm Gordon Heinrichs, a resident of Cambria, and a great follower of the skate park thoughts and ideas for these many years. The comment that I would like to at least express today is that moving forward is a fantastic event and definitely good for the community. The only question I am not too clear on is the bidding process that was presented to us with 10 bidders. And my understanding is we wound up with two. And that doesn't seem very representative of those who were interested in providing the lowest bid for this project. So I'd like to see if we could get a copy in the interest of transparency of the other bidders that presented their bid and the reason why they were not accepted. So is that available to, I asked President Farmer for this information prior to this meeting, but he did not respond. Thank you.
The next speaker is Wayne Gracie.
Good morning. My name is Wayne Gracie. I've been a resident of Cambria for 47 years, retired building contractor. I prepared this speech prior to the council stepping up and providing the funding, but I think some of it is still kind of important for the audience and the board to hear, so I'm going to just read it. I'd like to make several comments on the staff report and skate park progress. First, I feel, as many in the audience do, that it is imperative that you decide today to proceed with awarding the project to Newton Construction, who came in with the lowest qualified bid. They and only one other contractor submitted bid packages as specifically outlined by the board within the required time frame. These contractors spent considerable time and effort to provide detailed lump sum contracts for the project. Since their pricing is now on public record, it would not be fair or ethical to the winning bidder to extend or reopen the bidding process. This would put the current winning contractor at a great disadvantage. If I were currently the lowest bidder, I would have to seriously consider even committing to extend my bid under these circumstances. Case in point, the board recently eliminated Spawn Ranch, designer of the skate park, from bidding because of possible conflict of interest and for having inside information as the designer. If the board allows the project to go out for bid again, all contractors bidding would have inside information because the current lowest bid is public record, hence conflict of interest. As for the board requiring a contingency allowance be held in addition to the construction bid, this is unnecessary. The current contract for the project is a lump sum, all-inclusive contract. The provided plans and specifications have been meticulously detailed for every aspect of the project. The contractor is required to fulfill all of those terms. Having been a builder for over 40 years, I can assure you that the contractor will already have his own contingency allowance built into his pricing for unexpected issues that may develop, but that he is still responsible for completing. Therefore, there is no need for the board to require Skate Cambria to come up with the additional contingency funds. It appears that the Cambria Community Council is currently holding an additional $70,000 of publicly raised funds in an account labeled Maintenance Skate Park. The project is being built by the CCSD for the CCSD on CCSD property. It makes logical sense that once completed, any required maintenance would then be the responsibility of the property and project owner. Therefore, the CCSD, not Skate Cambria, would maintain the park. This will release a large portion of held Skate Cambria funds to apply to any shortfall that the CCSD is not willing to cover. Unfortunately, somewhere along the way, permanent public ADA restrooms became a requirement of the project and have increased the cost substantially. Other skate parks do just fine with portable toilets. Cambria could have also. In fact, a local owner of a portable toilet company graciously offered the district to supply and maintain quality portable toilets at no cost to the district for life. That offer, as well as other offers to donate free services from local contractors and suppliers, was turned down by the board. I am confident that Skate Cambria could still enlist the services of local contractors to donate their time to hook up the water, sewer, and electrical requirements to the new restrooms at a cost savings of about $30,000. In closing, Cambria Youth has been waiting more than 6 years for this skate park to become a reality. There have been numerous delays and hurdles to overcome, some created by the board, others by the county or other bureaucratic entities. Skate Cambria has gone above and beyond with their fundraising efforts. Locals and outsiders have dug deep into their pockets and have raised more than their share of the required funds. Skate Cambria has fulfilled their end of the bargain. It is time for the CCSD board to stop moving the goalposts and finally get this project started. I'm strongly urging you today to accept the Newton construction bid and agree to fully fund the remaining needed balance. Show all of us Cambrians that you are actually committed to completing the skate park. As representatives of this community, it is important for you as individuals and a board to show your support for the project. Thank you for your time.
I just want to make the observation, Wayne, I'll let you go over about a minute and a half. And so I would hope that everyone else would be a little bit more, and I understand that you needed to say what you had to say, but if everybody else would be a little bit more timely with what your comments, okay? The next commenter is Loudon Rowan. Good morning.
Good morning, I think, maybe, almost not. I'm LaDawn Rowan. I am a 10-year resident of Cambria and a practicing licensed marriage family therapist here in town. I've worked primarily with adolescents for the last 30 years of my career, and I can just speak to the mental health benefits of kids having open spaces and sports and extracurricular things in their life. I've been very impressed with the grassroots organization coming up with this and fighting for 6 years. I've watched Julie in particular, as I've not had any contact with any of the other people on the board, but I am very impressed with the tenacity of this community. I thank the community council so much for stepping up and getting this gap closed. I think I had some concerns if that was meant to happen some other way, and I'm really very impressed with that organization. I'm thrilled that this will move forward, and I really appreciate this community. It's part of what I have loved about finding and living here is the rally that this community does for things. And I just can't say enough that the youth is really, as someone else already pointed out, it's a retirement community and there aren't a lot of services here for the kids. And the benefits of something like this and giving them positive activities to do is just everything. I mean, exercise is the number one best treatment for depression. And I could go on and on about that, but I won't, as I realize there is a time clock ticking. But thank you for allowing the comments today. Thank you for supporting the effort. Now that the money situation seems to be handled, maybe we can get through the rest with as little bureaucracy as possible and focus on the kids. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker will be Linda Findley. Morning, Linda.
I'm Linda Findley, and I've been a almost over 40-year resident of Cambria, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the board, for the CCC, and making this all happening from the community as well. Thank you.
The next speaker is Bob Casper.
Hi, I'm Bob Casper. I've lived here full time for 23 years when my wife and I moved here with our boys who were 0 and 1 at the time. And they were raised here and they didn't have a whole lot to do here. There certainly wasn't a big skate park that we were working on. I first want to say thank you instead to the board because you kind of didn't really do too much today. I want to thank the Cambria Community Council for what they did. It's just an absolutely incredible thing in support of our community. It's just amazing. As a couple of people have said, Ted Siegler said, the ranch is an asset to our community. Someone, Harry, said, the ranch is the jewel of the Central Coast. Well, this skate park is going to be a diamond for the town of Cambria and for kids here. I'm going to try to keep it short and not take my whole 3 minutes because I was going to go and pull some heartstrings, blah, 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 but that part has been taken care of. But I do want to go into some of your math, CCSD. General Manager McElhaney's memo from July 9th states that Director Dean made a motion based on the average of three cost estimates and including a 12.5 contingency amount, resulting in a total project of $1.344 million. Okay, so that 1.344 includes a 12.5 contingency. Now, skip into page three. It says the construction cost is $1.344 million, on top of which we're going to add contingencies of 10, 15, or 20%. You guys ended up using 15%. So 15% on top of the 1.344 that you came up with that included a 12.5% contingency, now you're adding another 15% contingency on top of it. So the 12.5 equated to $149,000 contingency that was included in your 1.344. Then you take that 1.344 and add a 15% contingency, which is another $202,000. A total contingency of just over $350,000 on a project that was originally, based on your numbers, $1.194 million. So you've got a $350,000 contingency on $1.194 million. Sorry for the fast math, but I'll send you guys an email if you'd like. When you're basically adding 15% contingency, you've already added contingency, so you're adding overhead to overhead. So 12.5% plus 15% is 27.5%, but compounding, you have a 29% contingency on a $1.19 million project. So I'd be happy to go through these numbers in detail with you. Sorry, I did take my whole 3 minutes, but we might be able to save the council $100,000 or more. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Casper, I don't know how accurate some of your comments were. I think Vice President Dean would like to make a comment on what you just said.
So last April, we had asked for ballpark estimates, not detailed bids, from contractors so that Skate Cambria would know what the gap was going to be. We got four estimates, and because Skate Cambria requested that the highest estimate be reduced, we averaged the other three. And like I said, those were just ballpark numbers kind of pulled out of the sky from three contractors. So we added 12.5% for inflation. That contingency was for inflation, and because we did not know if they were accurate numbers. The contingency that we are talking about now, yes, a contractor will build in a contingency to cover his butt in case there's problems. That contingency does not cover the CCSD if there's something unforeseen that is not covered by the contractor. For example, when they start carving the hillside a little bit to put in the retaining wall, what if that hillside collapses? That's not covered by the contractor. That would fall on the CCSD. If they start digging that hole for the skate park and they come across something unexpected under there, like they did when we repaired the road near the bank not so long ago and discovered the old highway ran underneath it, that's not going to be covered by the contractor. This contingency is to protect the district, the ratepayers, and the taxpayers of Cambria from having to spend money above and beyond the cost of the skate park. That is what this contingency is for. Any contingency that the contractor builds in to his bid is to cover himself for any cost overruns on his part. So Mr. Carmel can clarify if I'm correct on that, but that is the way I understand this has been calculated. Would you like Mr. Carmel to comment?
It's up to Mr. Carmel.
No need to comment. The Vice President is accurate.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next speaker. Thank you, Vice President Dean. That was relatively spontaneous, by the way, on her part. Reb Botello? It's your turn to speak. Thank you.
I got fresh hair, so I didn't want to mess it up, but I got to represent, so. All right, I know I'm on the clock here. So I'm just going to run through some quick facts. My name's Reb Botello. I'm a Cambrian resident since COVID. 2020 is when I moved here. I wanted to talk about my experience with skateboarding and just being a grown-up. I got my first skateboard in 1969. It was a Black Knight skateboard, steel wheels, no grip tape. My mom paid $9.99 for that at JCPenney's. I paid almost $200 to put together my last skateboard. That skateboard set the tone for the most requested gift for me for Christmas and my birthday for the rest of my life, up until current. My mom had a standard rule growing up for me. A's and B's on the report card, one organized sport, play an instrument, you can ride your skateboard as much as you want, if I complied with all those other things. I don't know what that falls for LaDawn in the school of parenting, but that's how my mom ran the house. I was an awkward kid. Puberty was horrible. I had anxiety. I probably weighed like 130 pounds, and I felt much larger than all the other girls I was in high school with in junior high. But man, when I rode my skateboard, I felt free. First of all, just staying on it was an accomplishment. But then when they built the skate park in 1978, I learned how to ride half pipes, pools, bowls. And that's really where I gained my sense of self, my sense of being capable and having any kind of ability to navigate life was really all a reflection of me on my skateboard. I went on, you know, into high school, still riding my skateboard. I swam, played basketball, played softball, and did those things. But I only did those things because all my skate buddies from the skate park were doing them. So I was like, okay, well, we'll go do that. And then we'll go down to the skate park and skate some more. In those days, you had to pay to skate. You had to buy a day pass and a membership to the skate park. My mom was a single mom. And she came to me one weekend, and it was devastating because I was 13, and she said, I can't do this every weekend. I can't send you down there with lunch money. I can't send you down there with money for a skate pass.
Ms. Botello, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to remind you.
I'll bring it to a close.
Thank you.
She asked me to get creative. I went to the guy that owned that park and asked him if I could pull weeds or do maintenance to skate. Boom. Capitalism. I was launched right into it. I want to fast forward into the rest of my life here. When I moved to Cambria, I knew three people. One person said, we're building a skate park. I went down to the garden shed, got some stickers, bought a hat, left my phone number, and met the most incredible community. Julie, Shara, Chels, Little Mama Linda, I learned how to MIG weld in her garage for the Scarecrow Festival. This thing, I know that Fiscalini Ranch is awesome, and I walk in it, but it has equal weight. Like, people learn good manners. I learned how to not backtalk to adults that didn't know how to skate. I learned how to help little kids at the skate park when I was little, and I learned how to, like, not drop in on somebody. I'm just saying, I'm pro skate park. I know you guys are. Let's not drag our feet. Let's get this thing done. All right, skate or die.
The next speaker is Miss Julie Foster. I'm sorry, Chelsea. I knew that. My apologies, Chelsea. How long have we known each other?
Whatever you want, President. I'm just kidding. Good day, board. I'm Chelsea Foster. In many ways, a multi-generational Cambrian. Today is a pivotal day for Cambria. Yes, we are here for the skate park. However, over the last 6 years plus, this project has become so much more than just about the skate park community. For our community, it's a project standing on principle and integrity for this town and for the future. Before we launch into that positive future, just a quick moment to discuss history. Cambria has a long history with preventative measures related to proposed projects. This park to be has continued to meet the mark of many potential considerations. For parks, you know, at least 10 or 25 times this size, we've padded finances with the maintenance fund for the park that wasn't there, penalties and contracts and so forth. We already know that's in the past. We've had a lawn bowling field that's been there for 40 years, you know, longer than any type of new recreational space for our youth has even been built. So right now is clearly time for that change. In all fairness, of course, I wrote this before today. So thank you. With that said, I just want to put in a quick footnote about the matter of time. So we have gone over the hurdle of finance, and of course, we all understand why timing did what it did, why CCST had to make those considerations, as we've mentioned. And right now, time is going to be the next equally important asset that we're up against. Something else to note regarding Cambria's history, we will actually be one of the last towns on the whole Central Coast with a skate park. It's pretty ironic considering Cambria, with all of its beautiful hills, slope terrain, and all the other, you know, attributes that it has, was actually one of the very first places in all of California to inspire the sport of skateboarding back in the 60s and before. Skateboarding is an Olympic sport. It's unlike others, driven by a very positive and determined community, rich culture, amazing people, and athletic artistry not seen with similar sports. Just ask any surfer, skier, snowboarder where many of their most legendary tricks and athletic skills originate from. It's skateboarding. This town and this sport share so many of the same qualities, making them equally as special. People worldwide literally recognize this project. They know about Skate Cambria and many of its hurdles and setbacks and now beyond. So both profoundly strong communities know what it's about to be persevering and to continue persevering no matter what. Nailing the land, that's what it's about. When you're skateboarding, when you nail the land, or when you work with it, with the powers that be. It's time to break ground so everybody can visit and experience the magic we've already built. Let's honor the history and the hard work and build this park. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foster. The next speaker will be Champ Clark. Champ, sorry you had to wait so long, buddy.
Hello, my name is Champ Clark. I'm 12 years old, and I did write this whole thing, but I think the main point that I just want to make is skateboarding is such an amazing community, such a happy community. Every single time I've been at a skate event, everyone is so happy. Every point, and having this in Cambria as such a happy, amazing town is going to mean so much. And the art and the music and the culture of everything with skateboarding, linking that together with this amazing town is just going to be so amazing. And that's really the only point I wanted to make here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker is Tina Dickerson.
Thank you, President Farmer. Tina Dickerson, Cambria. What a truly heroic deed or deeds were manifested today by whomever. But what an amazing, amazing event for all of us, because my comments were very different than what I'm about to deliver now, as you may imagine. But I didn't raise skateboarders. I raised two daughters who were beautiful ballerinas. We're in a company. You know, I mean, very different. But I care because I was a teacher. I care about kids, and I care about what is good for children. This community will benefit. The children will benefit from this. They will be off their cell phones and finding places that are dangerous to skate on and be injured, et cetera, et cetera. But in having said all that, I respect so much Mr. Wayne Gracie, not only for the amazing homes he's built here, his expertise, the decent man that he is, and his knowledge. And I had in my mind this week or last, what's with the lump sum and a contingency? I read about lump sum contracts. I read about design to build contracts. And I don't understand the contingency issue. I mean, Vice President Dean described it. Mr. Carmel agreed with her description. But I think more needs to absolutely be questioned when it comes to that. And the other thing that I will make perfectly clear is the April MOU should be rescinded. I don't want to see another MOU where the community is responsible for another penny for this project. And that needs to be done by you, the board. We've done plenty. And to the generosity of these people, I don't know who they are. None of us know, except those who contributed. And Mr. Clark, thank you, Dick. Thank you very much. And thank you, Julie Amedee, for all the work that you've put into this. Because I know behind the scenes, Julie's been at it. And so I couldn't be happier. Now I can shed tears of happiness, not dismay. And so thank you, everyone. And thank you all who have shown up here to show what our community can do. This little town of 5,700. Look what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickerson. The next speaker is Dean Rowan.
Hi, Dean Rowan, 10-year Cambria resident. And I'm just inspired. I've just been watching the work that Julie's done. Thank you, Mr. Clark. That just touched me like it touched so many others. You know, I guess what I really wanted to just talk about a little bit, and there's been so much talked about, was the town I moved here from it seemed like a small town then until I moved here. You know, it had probably 30,000 people when we moved there. But I was involved in a construction project that was 1,000 square feet, and they treated us like a Walmart. And there were these hoops, red tapes. We had to put two handicapped restrooms in a 1,000 square foot building. There were massive restaurants that had one, and we had to have two. And what happened was that, so we walked through this, and cost overruns were just unbelievable. It literally doubled the cost of the project, having to deal with the city and the county. And then a new city manager came on board and started working to mitigate some of these ridiculous requirements and have alternative options depending on size and scope. And it really pushed back. And we had another project that came up that we were able to work really closely with them. And so I guess, you know, as appreciative as I am, and I know the intentions of everybody have been really admirable around this project. But like was talked about, you know, there are things that can be done to help reduce costs and mitigate some potential cost overruns, permitting processes, things like that. And I just ask that you guys do whatever you possibly can to push back on some crazy, unreasonable requests that may come out of this project as we move forward, because I'm super excited about it. And I just really want to see it come through to fruition. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rowan. Next speaker is Jeff Smith. Jeff, it's good to see you, buddy.
See you. Hey, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Smith, Cambria resident. I've worked with Skate Cambria for a long time. Just want to say thank you to everyone that's shown up, supported this project. There's been so many hurdles, and people in the community have just kept stepping forward and getting us through it. So really sincere thanks to Dick and Cambria Community Council. Yeah, just amazing. Blown my mind today. But I want to think back, you know, over 6 years ago, when the old skate park was taken out, we lost what I feel is a vital community asset. And the kids that were involved back then, even without that there, they were so enthusiastic to skate. I remember when I first started volunteering with Skate Cambria, working with them, they'd tell me, oh, come check out the skate park on the west, or the skate spot on the west end of town. It's great. It's a little divot in the concrete coming up to a curb. They just were not working with much and still put in all their time through their youth, through their high school years to try to get this done. And I'm just so excited for, you know, kids moving forward to have, you know, a real professional, awesome park that they can spend their time with their friends, hang out and enjoy. So thank you to everyone. Our community is amazing. And it's just incredible news today.
Thank you. Corinne Argano? Corinne, are you here? Corinne left. Jen, by the way, Corinne is the executive director of Green Space. No doubt she has something really valuable to say, but she has a schedule in her life as well. Next and last speaker here, and then we'll see if there are any speakers on Zoom. Adam Babcock.
Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Babcock. I'm the pastor of Cambria Vineyard Church and a two-year resident in Cambria. And I want to thank what was expressed today, and I believe the value that's been expressed for not just our young people, for generations in this community. We all know that at least, I was talking to my friend this morning when I arrived, David Nygren, principal of Santa Lucia Middle School, and he verified, I'm sure you know this, we have 450 students in our community. So I look at about 10% of our population at least that's going to be positively affected by the decision today. So I want to thank you all for that. And I also want to say as a tangential note, we do have a disc golf course in Cambria. It's at our church property, and anyone's welcome to use it. So that's resolved. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you. By the way, I see a gentleman in the back of the room who didn't put his name in. But Mr. Niffen, would you like to get up and speak for a moment?
I don't really have anything other to say than thank you. I just want to reiterate, I missed Dick's comments earlier on the community council and the importance of that council in this town. For years, people have trusted that council with their money to do good for this community, 80 years. Wow. And the discussion was deep and wide on this contribution because we don't like to get involved with things that are an issue. We'd rather just buy ambulance and buses for stuff like that. But the support in this town, and we believe in the past, would have supported this community. So I just can't say enough about you guys and the community. You know, the whole thing has just been awesome. But the community council is a great place to look if you don't know what to do with your money.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Steve. Ms. Dodson, do we have folks on Zoom that wish to speak?
Yes, Shara Tatham.
Shara, go
right ahead. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, President Farmer. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is Shara Tatham. I'm a Cambrian resident. I'm a business owner in town. My son, Cyrus, is the president of the Skate Park Initiative. And July, it's been 6 years. And I had to be at work, unfortunately, today. I could not be there. I could hear, and I want you guys to know that I was a blubbering idiot crying when Dick was speaking and all the board members were speaking. I could see you guys clapping, and I could feel the enthusiasm. And I could not hear the clapping, but I just want to say to the CCSD and the CCC, on behalf of Cyrus, myself, all the skate park committee members, we are thankful and grateful. Julie, let's ring that bell. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, Ms. Dotson?
We don't have anyone else.
No one else, all right. So let's, Vice President Dean, you wish to speak?
Yes, I'd like to know if you're ready for a motion.
First, I think it would be a good idea to, since the contingency situation is something that's an issue, perhaps we can get some clarity from legal counsel with regard to this issue, okay?
I'm not sure there's a lack of clarity on the issue. A contingency is a normal component of a public works project. In this case, the council's been generous enough to recognize that and include a, as I understand it, a 15% contingency that deals with the issues that Vice President Dean discussed, and that is issues that don't fall within the responsibility of the contractor, but for which we will have to pay to get that project built. May not happen. In my experience, it almost always happens through change orders for unforeseen conditions. Maybe we'll be blessed and that won't happen. In that case, the agreement will provide that whatever funds are in that contingency fund are retained by the council or returned to the council, however you like to look at it. But it's a critical component of any public works project. And we're blessed, frankly, to have the council recognize how important that component of the bid is. And again, I don't really think there's confusion with regard to that issue. So, I mean, I hope I clarified it.
All right. Thank you. So, Vice President Dean, you wish to make a motion?
I was going to have a brief comment. Could I?
Yes, go right ahead, Director Gray.
I would want to comment on another topic that came up in the public comment about the maintenance fund. I think Mr. Gracie was critical of the idea. And as Mr. Clark mentioned, we kind of talked about that quite a bit back in the last couple of years. The point of the maintenance fund is that there is no budget in the CCSD for additional maintenance of facilities, basically, and especially new recreational facilities. And so it was agreed, and I think that's actually in our original agreement, that this community council would be responsible for providing a fund that could cover maintenance, reasonable estimate of maintenance into the foreseeable future. And they have done that. So, and I think it's a very good thing. So I don't, because we own the property doesn't mean we have the budget to maintain it, which is the case with all the recreational projects that are being proposed. I think this is a model for the kind of public-private partnership we need to have going forward between the nonprofit organizations and the CCSD on recreational projects. And I think it's being executed obviously very well right now by thanks to the community council. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Gray. All the directors have their lights on. So I think Director Scott had her light. Oh, okay. Director Thomas.
I do.
Okay. Go right ahead.
I'd just like to say that I appreciate those of you who have supported CCSD through this, because there's a lot that went on behind the scenes where CCSD paid for a lot of what goes on with Skate Cambria. And I just want to say that I hope the hatefulness online goes away. Thank you.
Director Thomas.
Thank you, President Farmer. Thank you for all the positive energy out there. The most amazing board meeting I've been at. Thank you to the community for that. Regarding contingency at this point, Vice President Dean is correct in what it's for. I have a history of major capital project development in my work experience. And go back to last April, 15 months ago, there was huge uncertainty regarding what this project might cost, because I won't say I disagree that they were back of the envelope estimates, but I think your point was well taken, is that they weren't bids. And that was the point. So we had very wide range of uncertainty of the outcomes. We set 12.5% contingency. Interesting that the number we came up with is within nickels of the bid. And the difference is that pesky restroom, which isn't General Manager McElhaney's choice. It isn't the board's choice. It was the county requirement. That being said, at this stage of the project, it's appropriate to have some level of contingency for the unknowns and unknowables. Vice President Dean has talked about a couple of things that could occur, and most likely it's nothing we can imagine now. And I hope there will be none required. The uncertainty now is so much less than it was 15 months ago. So I would be satisfied with a contingency level lower than we established a year ago, April. But here, you know, to me, the 10% would be adequate at this stage. At this stage, we have the community council, offering to provide that backing, and what's not spent won't be spent. So it's essentially a moot point at this point. I just wanted to bring up that clarity of that contingency isn't for the inaccuracy of the bid, or it's for things that are unknown and unknowable, which stuff happens, and we all know that. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Director Thomas. Vice President Dean?
Are you ready for the motion?
Certainly, go right ahead.
I move that the board direct legal counsel to prepare a skate park funding agreement working in collaboration with the community council and with the board ad hoc committee of President Farmer and Director Dean.
Second.
All right. Before we do a roll call, Ms. Dawson, I just want to make a comment. And this is a remark that was made earlier with regard to some of the negativity that's been directed toward the board, toward the district, with regard to this project. Members of staff, people on the board here, we've done the best that we could, considering some of the obstacles that we've had to face from county and other areas where we had no control over what slowed this project down. I know how much Ms. Dean and I, as the ad hoc committee for the skate park, the passion that we've had in being out there with the youngsters years ago when we were just raising the funds to get this project. And I want to thank Ms. Amadei and everybody that's contributed. And I want to thank everyone that was here today, because the majority of you folks were very positive and made us feel good with you being here and being supportive of the skate park. Obviously, the youth that were there originally, they're a little bit older now, graduated college and so forth, but there's nothing but positivity moving forward. And let's hope that we can embrace the positive nature of what has happened today and move forward and have the skate park built by the end of the year. So with that thought in mind, Ms. Dawson, you want to do a roll call, please?
I was going to make a suggestion maybe of additional information in the motion, and I'll pose this. I think we should, I think we should maybe specify the amounts that the community council is going to put forth for the construction shortfall, and also the contingency fund, if that would be helpful. In other words, $175,095.41 to cover the construction shortfall, and $201,600 for the 15% contingency included in the purchase agreement.
May I ask the District Council Carmel a question?
Go right ahead, Mr. Carmel.
So this agreement we're asking you to draft includes the rest of the funds that the community council is holding for construction as well, not just for these two items?
I'm assuming that's correct, but without sitting down and talking to Mr. Clark and the council, I can't confirm that. I mean, assuming I know the memorandum of understanding contemplates all the money in our hands before we actually sign the contract. So when I approach them, that's what I'm going to be requesting in addition to the funds that were articulated today. But again, this is something that we'll deal with after this meeting. I do believe that was probably intended, but maybe Mr. Clark can clarify that.
Should I leave the wording the way it is, or?
Yeah, it does seem that the original wording of your motion.
Yeah, because I think it covers everything. Okay.
All right, so we have a motion and we have a second. Ms. Dodson, if you...
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Director Scott?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. By the way, I just want to make one more comment. We are so fortunate that the lowest bid is a contractor that has been very successful here in this county for a long time. Having California skate parks involved, we couldn't ask for anybody better to be designing and building this skate park. So there we are. And thank you, Mr. Clark, once again. Yeah, we're taking a break, and we'll be back at 1:05. No, make it 1:15. 1:15. All right, everybody. Excuse me. It's 1:20, and we're about to engage item 6C on page 505. And General Manager McElhaney, if you would introduce this item, please.
Thank you, President Farmer. Agenda item 6C, discussion and consideration of introduction of ordinance number 02-2026, amending, updating, and revising various sections of the Cambria Community District's Municipal Code. Introduction of the ordinance has no immediate direct fiscal impact. Implementation of the ordinance will be handled through existing administrative and enforcement processes for nuisance abatement matters involving inspection warrants. The ordinance provides costs incurred to acquire a warrant, including legal fees and costs, may be included in abatement costs and recovered by the district. And with that, I'll turn it over to the board for any questions and discussions. I know there might be a couple edits after talking to Mr. Carmel and Director Thomas in one of these sections, I believe. Section 5, but I'll turn it over to the board.
All right, thank you. Director Thomas, since your name was just mentioned, would you like to start off the discussion, please?
Be delighted to, but yeah, start off with great edits. You know, I had to hunt and hunt. I mean, you changed the spelling of willfully with one L to willfully with two L's. It's like awesome, you know, and cleaned up other little things. But yeah, on section 5, it looks like, you know, you've revised the second paragraph that reads decorating of the upper walls, yada yada, and you've got that sentence in there twice. And I noticed the existing ordinance says basically decorating of the upper walls, yeah, or ceiling is prohibited except from permanently installed hooks. And I always thought that made sense. They can hang things from the hooks. And then that sentence is in there. And then it also, the new sentence, there's the same sentence except it says decorating, yada, yada, from the ceiling is prohibited except for permanently installed eyes on hooks. And that kind of infers that you want people to go ahead and
stick more ceilings, more hooks up in the ceiling. And I don't think that's what you mean. So it seems like it was probably right before, but that was just my read on it.
Thank you, Director Thomas. Yeah. And I believe Mr. Carmel can chime in, but we can make those edits. Yeah.
I just want to clear what the edit is, because I just saw a sentence being repeated.
And in one sentence, it says, except for. In the next sentence, it says, except from.
And it should be from.
It should be from.
Oh, okay.
As it was before.
Yeah. Well, so what you want to do is delete that second sentence.
And in fact,
when it starts that second paragraph, yeah.
Correct. And in fact, that would mean that we would not be revising that section, because that's the only change that I can see.
Of course, not to be too picky, but except from actually makes sense.
Exactly.
Except from makes sense, because as you're hanging from installed in hook, eyes and hooks.
Exactly my point.
Okay, so you want to delete the sentence at the end of the prior paragraph. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Did we get that correct, Mr. Carmel? Maybe he's not back from lunch.
Yeah, Tim, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think General Manager McElhaney was just handing off to you.
Yes, if you just strike the last sentence in the first paragraph of F, I think that gets the meaning that was intended. The intent is to allow directions to be hung from permanently installed eyes and hooks that were approved by the building supervisor. So it's very confusing to have two identical sentences with some slight variations. So I think if you just strike the last sentence in F on page 509 in the first paragraph, we're fine.
And if I'm not mistaken, that means that we will have not changed it one word. And so it will be identical to what it was previously.
Well,
and so why would we?
Respectfully, I didn't write this. It was recommended to me. But I know that, and I don't know what it looks like. It's not in red lines, so I wouldn't be able to tell you if that's the case. In any case, it's in front of you, and I think the way to fix it is to strike the last sentence in the first paragraph.
I would.
Yes, that right, agree.
Yeah, and in the sentence we're keeping too, it maybe is a little more grammatical to say after hooks to get rid of and, because the eyes and hooks are approved by the building supervisor. Just get rid of the word and after hooks.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Then we would have made a revision.
There you go.
Revision by committee. Okay.
Would we add a comma after eyes?
No. No.
Is this the same meeting? All right, so does anybody have any further comments on this particular agenda item? Would anyone like to make a motion to approve this agenda item?
Yeah.
Well, Tom, just excuse me, go right ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to make a motion, but
all right.
I have to call up the actual agenda item here if I can get it.
Okay.
There you are. I move that the board approve ordinance number 022026, amending, updating, and revising various sections of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code and waiving further reading.
Mr. President?
Friendly amendment?
Oh. And as amended, do you want to specify the amendment? Sorry, yeah. Let me just repeat that. The board adopt ordinance number 022026, amending, updating, and revising various sections of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code, waiving further reading, and making the following change in section. I'll give me five. Hold your thought there. Section Five, subsection F, delete fourth sentence of the first paragraph. And in the beginning of the next sentence, starting with decorating the upper walls, after the word hooks, delete the word and. Yeah.
Second.
President Farmer?
Yes.
I hate to be a stickler for details.
I believe it is the third sentence.
Third sentence?
You have to read the entire title, including all the section references, and I apologize, but that's how
so. Okay.
we're not approving it. We're introducing it.
Okay. Well, so we're in, okay. So I move that the CC board introduce ordinance number 02-2026, amending, updating, revising various sections of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code, including section 1.04.020, section 1.08.070, section 1.08.040, section 2.08.070, subsection F of section 7.4.10, subsection D of section 5.04.390, and section 6.05.050, with the do I have to spell the correction too?
No, but you have to say by title only and waive further reading.
And it would take it by title only and waive further reading, with correction as noted on the record.
That's fine.
Okay.
And I'll second that again.
Thank you.
Yeah,
the easy part. Okay.
Yes.
Before I ask Ms. Dodson to do a roll call, I just want to say that I believe that Director Gray will be getting a raise after reading that. So. All right, Ms. Dodson.
Did you want to ask for public comment?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have any public comment on this item?
No.
Thank you for reminding me.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Scott?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. Let's move on now to... Managers' reports and General Manager McElhaney, the floor is yours.
Thank you, President Farmer. For my General Manager's report, as the board knows, most of the community, our coastal development permit for the water reclamation facility was approved at the county level with minor conditions as it applies to AMP monitoring being reported monthly to the county under which we're operating the WRF. They will communicate those reports to the Coastal Commission, which are also publicized on our website. And if there are any changes in our operational parameters, because we notice any environmental effects as the AMP progresses, that will notify the county of anything that we did to mitigate those, any changes in operations. We met with the Coastal Commission last week, had a really productive meeting, helping them get better familiar with the administrative record, which is really large with this permit. And we are meeting them today on Zoom, meeting the ecologist, and going to have some more dialogue there. We've been having communications with a senior environmental scientist regarding water quality and ongoing conversations with Mr. Dan Carl and Mr. Kevin Kahn, and all of them are really productive. So we are, you know, hopeful and optimistic that that will be before the Coastal Commission at some point if it gets appealed, and we'll achieve our CDP. The appeal window is open, and I think it was open as of earlier in this week, which is about 10 business days, and then it'll close, and then we'll kind of find out our fate from there. I did attend the General Manager Leadership Summit in Newport Beach last week. Great conference, met with a lot of different general managers, to include former Cambria general managers, and got to hang out with them. And met several consultants when it comes to financing and lobbyists that help districts get funding, federal funding. And I might be bringing before the board potentially some type of an RFP for that. They have been very successful. And I talked to several general managers who have received millions and millions of dollars for infrastructure projects and for fire departments and fire districts. And one of the firms is based out of DC and works closely with our elected representatives. And so we'll be looking into that, and I'll keep you up to date. Recognition of some employee promotions. Fire Captain Kayla Graves, or excuse me, Engineer Kayla Graves was promoted to fire captain. We're really happy for her. She tested excellently. And as you know, Mr. Eric Johnson has been promoted to our permitting and compliance officer role out of the utilities department. So we're super excited to have Eric on board. And then we have some open positions as a result of those promotions that we'll be testing for and filling here soon. And with that, I'll turn over to the board for any questions.
Right. Any members of the board have any questions or comments for the general manager? Director Scott, do you have your... Oh, well, both you and Director Thomas. So ladies first.
No, that's okay. I just left.
All right, thank you. Director Thomas.
Thank you, President Farmer. And I just wanted to point out, if anyone hasn't clicked on that link on page 512, the first page of the general manager's report with the AMP annual reports, there are four nighttime CRLF, the California Red Leg Frog surveys, and those were quite interesting. The first one, I think maybe it was March, they've got pictures of what they call the egg mass. And all these little eggs that are going to be frogs and, you know, several nighttime surveys. So, that's worth a look.
Thank you. Well, moving on, Ms. Fritz. Oh, excuse me. I don't see Mr. Aguirre here with the Facilities and Resources Manager's report, but he's a busy man, so I could understand why he isn't here.
I can fill in for him, President Farmer, if you like.
I was just going to say that. So, Mr. Redhead.
Did you guys want to ask for public comment on the GM report?
Thank you, Ms. Dodson. No, I don't want to know. Do we have any public comment on the General Manager's report?
No.
Thank you.
And then Mr. Aguirre is out for the week. He had an unfortunate family emergency, but I do have a report for him. They have worked on the fire breaks behind Huntington and Windsor, and those have been remowed behind the homes, 60-foot buffer zone there. They did some tree trimming 6 feet up for the ladder fuels. There's been a sighting of a paraglider who drove their truck through the North Windsor entrance gate, unknown how they got through that gate. The vehicle then drove up the trail to the arch trail above the fire road and drove it up to the meander trail and launched their paraglider. And that's not necessarily authorized, so we're keeping an eye on that. They've been doing some trail work along the new boardwalk with the new mower. Thank you to the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch who funded that mower. We really appreciate the help there. There's been someone who has taken upon themselves to weed whack and spray the poison oak along the West Forest Loop Trail. This was discovered because they removed a tree from that trail. This was a surprise, I guess a pleasant surprise. And they were on track to perform that task last week, but someone did it for them. The Santa Rosa Trail had two trees that had fallen. Those have been removed and chipped. There's been damage to the chain at the Santa Rosa Trailhead next to the wastewater plant. There was a lock that was damaged and removed for some unknown reason, and that has been repaired and replaced. East Ranch, the mowing of the trails are planned with fallen tree removal by next weekend. They have hired a crew clearing the firebreak on the Ramsey Trail to meet our firebreak requirements. And We have contracted with an outside company, Prado Cleaning Company, that are cleaning all of our restrooms 7 days a week, opening and closing. And we are working with them on the closing hours. For them, it might be a little more flexible for them to close later, which is a benefit to the public. So we're working on potentially extending the closing hours of the restrooms. But that is going to alleviate Mr. Aguirre and his crew significantly to focus on other areas of the district. And with that, open up to any questions that I can answer.
Anyone on the board have any questions for the general manager regarding Mr. Aguirre's report? I just want to say I want to thank Mr. Aguirre once again for a thorough report, and we wish that every family emergency he's dealing with it all goes well as possible. Do we have any public comment on Mr. Aguirre's report, Ms. Dodson?
No.
Thank you. Ms. Fritz, finance manager's report, and how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Here is agenda item 7C, the finance manager's report. I'm reporting on the usual metrics and the director's compensation. We went over the expenditure report, which was included in this agenda item 5A. Our bank balances, including last year's balance at the same point in time, is included here. I've also have the summary of our SST project, which I include on this report. Right now, we're working hard to close out this fiscal year, finish up the final budget for next fiscal year, and as well as, trying to get the fourth quarter report all situated. So staff is working hard on making sure everything's accounted for, all invoices are paid, and going on our way and going to get started on the audit again. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
I do have a question.
Yes, Ms. Director Scott.
Yes, thank you. I think I know the answer to this, but please tell me why for LAIF we now have $2 million when last year we only had $62,000.
So if you look at LAIF and then CAMP right underneath that, those are both investment funds that are group investment funds that we use. And so we can use those interchangeably. And so based upon the interest rate, I work with our investment advisors and move money between those different accounts. So between last year and this year, LAIF had a better rate of return than CAMP. So we moved our balance over there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Director Scott and Ms. Fritz. Do we have any public comment, Ms. Dodson, on Ms. Fritz's report?
No.
Thank you. So let's move on now to the Utilities Manager's report. And Mr. Green, if I could ask of you on page 518, just before your report begins, if you could kind of give us an update as to how everything is moving forward with regard to the energy conservation measures that were implemented, it seems like ages ago, or not implemented, but began. So how are we doing there? It looks like things have moved forward considerably.
I'm scrolling like mad here, but thank you, President Farmer. The SST, for once, I can bring a lot of positivity to the meeting here about so much that's been done here in the recent months. We have replaced the generator there. We have our new generator installed. So for that to take place, we had PG&E out to de-energize the transformer. They removed that transformer and then put in a new fourth leg or a grounding system on that new transformer. So that's been installed. The generator's been commissioned and permission to operate by the APCD. So that was a big piece right there. We're doing a lot of underground work right now for conduits and that sort of run. So right now we have no ingress or egress at the main gate there at the plant, but things are really progressing quickly at the end of this. It seems like it's been years that we've been doing this. I know we've been contracted for years, but we're a little over about 9 months into this our project right now. So we are looking at a culmination of August. We've had one of the engineers for Southland working overtime and diligently to work on our dissolved oxygen processing and our aeration basin so that way it can run autonomously. You've heard me kind of commiserate the last couple months about operations and how task heavy it's been for our wastewater operators there. Here recently in late June and in our first week here, we've really made some of those processing changes and improvements there where the plant's running, it's producing, you know, our effluent results that we want within our ranges. And it's a lot less hands-on for operators right now, which is kind of back to where we started with all this. So all the SST pieces are kind of coming together. So we look forward to, once we get the plant back together and the asphalt down and everything back in place there, we'd love to have like an R&I tour where we bring everybody out and we can kind of provide like a PowerPoint or like a slideshow illustration of where we've come to where we're at right now, and then take you on a walk and show you those 12 ECMs around the plant, or actually rather the 11 ECMs that have been performed. So yeah, thank you for the teeing that up for me. But yeah, the SST is going along for once, I can say, quite swimmingly. So cool. Thank you, President, for that. other projects going on for water is obviously the Stewart Street tanks. We've again, we had a small, again, you never know what you get into until you get underground with these projects. We removed that second tank, which actually we're calling sink tank one. Sorry for the confusion. When we removed that tank, we found out that the bedrock that was there was not supported on about half of the tank. So again, we had a change order to look at some geo on how we're going to make this structurally integral, you know, with the ring that goes around there. So we did some work with our geo and our consultants and our engineers at a tune of about $40,000 of change order. We came up with a mitigation that suited everyone here. So that ring wall has been installed up to the new geological specs. We have the base and the oil sand in there. And it looks like next week we will begin the steel erection of that tank number one, the second tank, which is our larger volume. This has a larger capacity. This is the 223,000 gallon tank. So this is a big piece. And we're looking to get that back online, of course, here so that we'll have that additional, you know, almost quarter of a million gallons of fire flow that we'll need for later in the year. So that's come along quite nice. Other than that, it's been kind of a long meeting. So if you guys have any more questions or, you know, concerns about the report, I would like to address a public comment that came earlier today regarding the WRF gate. The WRF gate was open that day because Davy Tree Service comes in quarterly and trims the trees around the power pole. So all of our power comes in from the north to the south end of that town. So if any of those trees get in the way and cause an interruption, we'll have a complete outage from PG&E and the town. So PG&E was trimming them through Davy as their contractor for this. So they were going in and out of the gate all day, taking their, you know, 40,000 pound dump truck in and out with removal of the trees and stuff. So that's why that gate was open. So if people in our, you know, our concerned community members do have concern, I wish that they reach out to General Manager McElhenney or myself directly. We can just clarify, you know, some of these concerns. So with that, I'll see if you guys have any more questions, and thank you.
Oh, I just want to make this comment, Mr. Green, that you would have been more than welcome to have addressed the comment of that the public citizen with regard to that when she brought that up in her public comment. It would have been nice if you could have clarified that at that time.
Well, thank you for indulging me now, but I thought we should kind of let the meeting get on with its own.
Okay.
You know, momentum right there. So we had quite a houseful here and I didn't want to hold that up any further, but thank you. In future meetings, I will respectfully kind of interject.
Well, because there was a legitimate reason for the gate being open. It was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yes. Director Thomas.
Yeah. Thank you, President Farmer. And thank you, Mr. Green. Great report. And this is really not about your report, but as I'm reading the East Ranch markers, please do not pull up the markers you find on the ranch.
Yeah.
This reminds me, on the West Ranch, in the forest, there are literally hundreds of flags. marked, you know, along the trail and in the woods up in the East Ranch. And I inquired, and apparently that's something to do with a research project by one of the Cal State universities related to morning glories. There are both native morning glories and non-natives, and while I don't know exactly what they're doing, that's what those flags are about. Somebody was worried about that, and anyway.
They're identifying or locating their location.
Yeah. And I went and looked, and each one of those flags, yeah, you look down, there is a little bit of morning glory stems in there. So that's FYI.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Thomas. Do we have any further comments from the board? Do we have any public comment on Mr. Green's utilities report?
Yes, Kitty Connolly.
Hi.
Ms. Connolly.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, great. Where'd everybody go? I just wanted to say for Director Thomas that the flags in the forest are in preparation for the forest treatment work that'll start in September. That was the biological survey to find the rare plants before that project.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Oh, nothing to be sorry about. It's funny because I was just going to ask you, Ms. Dotson, if anybody was still attending the meeting via Zoom. I guess I got my answer that at least one person is, right?
Yes, we have 9 attendees.
Thank you. So moving on to board member committee and liaison reports. Anyone on the board have any comments in this regard? Apparently not. Do we have any comments from the public, Ms. Dotson?
No.
It appears as if it's hard to believe how quickly the second half of the meeting has gone. Any comment on future agenda items, Ms. Dotson?
No.
Yes, Director Gray.
Do we want to have a review of the future agenda items that are already there from Ms. Dotson? Is that okay? Are we at that point yet?
That's kind of what I was hoping that she would be, yes.
Okay, in August, we have received and filed the fourth quarter budget report for fiscal year 25-26, a discussion and consideration to direct staff to enhance budget transparency, including separation of operational and capital components and addition of a high-level year-to-year trend analysis. Discussion and consideration of adoption of the Ordinance 02-2026, amending, updating, and revising various sections of the CCSD Municipal Code. Discussion and consideration of adoption of a resolution adopting hazardous weed nuisance abatement procedures. And a public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of the resolution approving the final CCSD budget for fiscal year 26-27 and reserve for encumbrances for fiscal year 25-26.
Thank you, Ms. Dotson. Any board members have any comments on Ms. Dotson's list there? Yes, Vice President Dean.
And hopefully we will have for August a future agenda item bringing back an agreement, draft agreement for the skate park funding.
Yeah. Thank you.
President Farmer, we had a late hand raise.
A late hand? How late was that hand? I'm just joking. And who would that be?
Christine Heinrichs.
Ms. Heinrichs, go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask again that you place that resolution as proposed every month for the past year regarding ICE enforcement activities on the August agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. You know, you and I have discussed this on at least one occasion, and if you choose to bring this item up on a monthly basis, that's your choice. But like I said, you and I have already discussed this, so thank you. All right. It looks like without further ado, This meeting's adjourned. Thank you.